All right, hour two of Drive Time with DeRussia on this Monday, rainy Monday in some parts of the Twin Cities. In more on the way. Keeping our eye out for any severe weather that might pop tonight. Kind of feel it out there, a little bit of that humidity today. So Chris Schaefer's on it, the newsroom's on it. We'll keep you safe and keep you up to date here on CCO all night. I want to get back into our ongoing coverage of a political assassination right here in Minnesota. Speaker Emerita, the former Speaker of the House, Melissa Hortman, her husband, Mark, both assassinated, politically motivated. The accused killer is in custody, in federal custody, where federal prosecutors are taking over. And we're going to speak with Joe Thompson, the interim U.S. attorney, in just about 20 minutes here on CCO to learn a little bit more. But we've learned so much more today about the timeline and the fact that we knew about two legislators that got a visit from this guy. One dead and her husband dead. Two sent to the hospital with multiple gunshot wounds. Paul Gazelka spent a long time in the state legislature. And Paul is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, former Senate Majority Leader. Paul, thanks for being here today.
You know, Jason, it's always an honor, and usually I'm lighthearted, but today just doesn't feel like that kind of day.
Man, I was thinking about that, too, because the last time Melissa Hortman was on our show was National Donut Day, and her... The caucuses had just come to an agreement, and you had been a part of these negotiations during your time, and it's stressful, and it's exhausting, and it involves, in her case, agreeing to cast a vote for something that she didn't agree with, but she needed to do it to get a budget deal done. And at the end of our conversation, I'm like, Melissa, it's National Donut Day. Like, what's your favorite donut? At least, could we talk about something a little lighter? And she was always up for that, and you had many... You had many tough conversations. You're a Republican. She's a Democrat. You didn't agree on much politically, I imagine, but you guys worked together for many years.
Yeah, you know, and people are surprised that we were good friends, and it didn't start that way. And I thought about that after, why, and I was thinking about the Band of Brothers in World War II, and they were in the trenches and had intense conflict that they had to survive. And we, Hortman was the leader of the House when I was the leader of the Senate, and we had to go through COVID and emergency powers and the death of George Floyd and people that wanted to defund the police and trying to get a public security bill through, and then three different budgets. And it was like we lived in the trenches, and we really came to respect each other as even-handed, honest brokers. When I'm not saying other people aren't, but you know, other people are trying to play 3D chess, and we just were laying our cards down on the table and saying, this is what I need, and we meant it, and we learned to really trust each other, even though we were very, very different politically from each other.
Right, and you think, as you said, that time, and I saw you post on X about going through old text messages that you two had exchanged, which is just such a, man, all of us can relate to that, right? A friend of ours ends up passing, and you go look through that record and think, I mean, you guys went through it. You really did.
Yeah, and I mean, it is a long text string. I was actually amazed how long it took me to get to the beginning of it. And really, even though we both started in the House together in 2004, I moved over to the Senate, and I really didn't have a lot of conversation at any depth with her until we both were leaders. And that's, you know, that's when we just really came together. And you know, we had humorous things. I noticed that it was rare that we challenged each other and just said that was BS or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that was a rare thing. And I remember one time, you know, when we finally got something near accomplished, she came to me and said, you're the only one not yelling at me, you know, and I could really relate to that, because your own side's yelling at you, your base is yelling at you, everybody else is. And so it was just, it just really came to appreciate the value of the fact that we were both even-handed and both were trying to do something that we knew was not going to be everything either one of us wanted. And I think that was really valuable for Minnesota in that time.
A lot of developments today in the FBI affidavit, the acting U.S. attorney sharing, really, and what I mean, in this time, and I'm going to tell the U.S. attorney this, too, where, look, we're, I think there are a lot of elected officials around Minnesota who are still afraid that there could be a copycat or who knows what. To have the U.S. attorney give as much information as they gave today, despite the fact that some of this was horrifying, knowing that this guy went to two other elected officials' houses.
Yeah.
But I am so grateful for the openness and the information. And I think in a time of uncertainty, that's all we have. But for you to learn today that he tried to kill four people, not just two.
Yeah, honestly, that was a total surprise to me. And I've had heads up on a number of the pieces of information. But and I immediately texted the senator from New Hope, which is how he listed it. So I'll list it the same way.
Yeah.
And just said, so glad you're okay.
She's come out. Senator Rest has come out with a statement. So she did come out and say how grateful she was to New Hope Police for saving her life, is the way she put it.
Absolutely saving her life. I mean, it was right there.
He was right
there. It's lots of soul searching in many different ways. You know, like, you know, where God are you in all this? You know, Hoffman's, you guys were shot 8-9 times and you both lived and the Hortmans died. And it's just, there's not easy answers for a lot of this. And, you know, but the soul searching for me is, you know, how do I make a positive difference for our culture in Minnesota as a person of influence? You know, how do I help people get off the ledge, so to speak? And, you know, I hope we see a lot of that. I hope there's a lot of people that realize that, yeah, we have to confront each other politically when we are so far apart, but we can do it with respect and honor. And I think we have to set the example. And I would say media, too.
Yep.
I mean, we all have to set
the
example.
I've been thinking that myself. You know, I always try to do that, but I need to do it better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I felt the same way. I've always tried to do it, but I occasionally look back at someone and I say, that could have been better.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Me, too. For sure. Paul Gazelka with us. Paul, before I let you go, do we need to change security at our state capitol? And we have citizen legislators. I mean, the idea of providing private security for every state rep or state senator is sort of, I don't know, it depresses me to think that we need it. But what is your take on that?
Let's start at the Capitol. My last year was 2022, and I thought then that the rise of aggressive behavior was to a point where sooner or later something's going to happen. Even then. And I just thought we should harden that target. I mean, there should be a security checkpoint. Many state capitals have that, where you have to go through screening and you don't get to bring a gun in. And, you know, I wish it wasn't that way, but it is that way. And, you know, in every way
we
possible,
have nothing for people listening around the country or people from Wisconsin. We have nothing. So you can walk up to the state capitol and walk in, which is amazing. I loved it as a reporter. I love it as a citizen, but it's sort of out of touch with today.
It is. And no, I don't think anybody can argue that. And I, you know, towards the end of my time there, I started carrying at the Capitol, and my wife wanted me to wear a flak jacket. I didn't know what you say. I'm old school, so that's all I remember it being called. But point is, it changed. I mean, it's just like, so I hope they do that. I hope they really work hard at hiding a legislator's home address. We had talked about passing legislation that you can't picket a legislator at their home. That I really think we should be doing that kind of stuff. It immediately lowers the tone, so you're not in a situation where you might accidentally go too far. You know, so, and I would include the governor's mansion in that too. I mean, it's enough of this stuff. We need to show how to respect each other, but those that don't or won't, we have to find a way to curb that behavior.
Should more lawmakers carry guns, you think?
Well, it's, you know, I've been around guns my whole life just as a sportsman. And so, but, you know, my time was during the the riots, and they had picketed my insurance office up north four different times, and there was a time when, well, it was Black Lives Matter and CARE. They pushed into the Senate office building, and we didn't know. We didn't know if it was a big group, little group, and you know, it was scary. People were scared, and so I hope that's not the direction, but you know, I think harden the target would be a lot easier, and security checkpoints and.
Yeah.
You know, some people may disagree, but I really think that's the direction we should go.
Paul Gazelka, we appreciate it. Thanks, Paul. I agree.
I really appreciate your show.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. He's a good man. Paul Gazelka. I agree. It's time to harden that target at the state capitol. We are going to cleanse the radio timeline with a giveaway. We need some joy. We need a reason to smile. And I've got tickets to see Keith Urban. We are going to play Name That Tune. Don't we all need, I feel we need this. We are playing for a chance to win a pair of passes to see Keith Urban at the Axe on September 26th. So let's go. Line it up. 651-461-9226. You will guess a Keith Urban tune in minutes on CCL.